I love you. You're amazing, Art.
Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2024, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so that their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is the founder of Entrepreneurs Rocket Fuel and Speakers Playhouse, as well as the creator of the Voices of Women Summit. She has another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly.
Well, hello, folks. I don't know if you know this, but we are halfway through. We are halfway through this 12-hour amazing summit with GC goodness coming at you from all kinds of women around the globe. We would love for you guys to let us know if you're getting value out of today, if you're loving what you've heard. Throw some love in the chat for some of the speakers that you've heard that made an impact on you already. We value your input and absolutely love it when you are participating with us. So we want you to play in the chat. This time you're only going to hear from me, so I need to play with you in the chat as much as possible. Remember, if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. That's my methodology and my motto in the world. Well, we are going to talk about some really cool aspects of shifting your narrative. This whole day for me on track one in the diamond track, a lot of it has been around energy and mindset. And energy and mindset are powerful, powerful tools. There are people out there who really practice and regularly and do their affirmations. If you do affirmations, kind of a trick question, but if you do affirmations, put a one in the chat. If you've tried affirmations, put a one in the chat. If you've tried affirmations and they haven't always worked, put a two in the chat. Put a two in the chat. If you've tried affirmations and you're like, it works sometimes, but it doesn't work all the time. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of that in this particular talk, and it's called Shift Your Narrative. Shift Your Narrative is a talk that I've started giving about a year ago, and I think it really does get to the heart of why sometimes affirmations and work and sometimes they don't. Well, the law of attraction, I love when people say, you know, the law of attraction, I'm not sure I believe in that. And that's awesome. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to believe in gravity either. It's going to work whether you believe in it or not. Law of attraction is a thing that's out there that is bringing like and kind together. And the more you focus on something, the more it happens for you. This has been true for me in my life before I knew about law of attraction. And then once I realized more about it, I was like, aha, I think I realize what's been happening. So when I was at corporate many, many, many moons ago, I actually worked for 17 years in the staffing industry. And I was really good at it. I climbed the corporate ladder and I became really, really good at what I did. And as I climbed the corporate ladder, I was getting accolades and I was getting better and better. And we used to call it that I was the make it work person, right? I could make anything work. If there was a problem or a challenge with a client, they would bring it to me and I could make it work. If there was a problem with one of our employees, they would bring it to me and I could make it work. If there was a problem with technology, they would bring it to me and I would make it work. I was the make it work girl. And you know what happened? The more I focused on solving problems, the more I focused on making it work, the more problems and work I got. That's right. I would get all of the problems and all of the work. Why? Because I was attracting that to me. I was focused on that. I was focused on the problems and the work, and I was really good at solving problems, but I just kept attracting new problems to myself so that I could prove how amazing I was at solving problems. Does anybody resonate with that? Put "she's not wrong" in the chat box if you feel like that has possibly happened to you as well, right? The more you focused on something, the more it became. And even though you thought you were, like, I thought I was wearing this badge of she can do anything. She can make it work. She's amazing at her job. And while that was true, I was really just creating more and more problems. So after about 15 years, it was really fun for about 15 years. And after about 15 years, I got to the top of the ladder and I sort of looked behind the curtain at the other people who were at my level and above me. And they were all ridiculously unhappy people. They were all, many of them were unhealthy. They were overweight. They were angry. They were bitter. Many were divorced. And that's not to shame anybody who's divorced. I'm divorced. But they were really unhappy in their relationships with their people, with their relationships with their employees, with their relationships in the world out there. And they were just super unhappy. And I thought, man, this is not who I want to grow up to be, right? And even though I was really good at what I was doing, I knew that I was not meant to do it for the rest of my life. right? I was the make it work girl, but I had been creating all of these problems. So I was there for 17 years. The first 15 were pretty good. The last two, not so much. And eventually I jumped out and I escaped the world of the golden handcuffs. If you've ever been in golden handcuffs, put golden handcuffs in the chat. Golden handcuffs are when you have risen to the point where you are making so much money that it doesn't make any sense to quit, but you are miserable doing it. And that's where I was. I was in golden handcuffs. And then I realized that I needed to not be in this anymore. What I did next was I decided to create an entrepreneurship for myself. I had been an entrepreneur on the side many different times. I'd been in MLMs, or any of you were in MLMs. I don't think they call it anymore. I think they call it direct sales. I did done that, made some money on the side doing that. I'd been in a lot of different businesses. I actually created some businesses and even sold them while I was working at corporate. But in that time, I realized that none of that was really floating my boat. It wasn't really making me happy. So I decided to create a business around like something new that I could just make $1 million at. That was my goal. I wanted to get it to $1 million. So I set about creating an entrepreneurship for myself. And what I ended up doing is asking my friends and family, what should I do as an entrepreneur? What should I create? You know, and getting their feedback. And their feedback was, well, wow, you were so good at what you did at corporate. Why don't you do that? Staffing, right? And I was like, well, I know how to get clients. I know how to build a team. I know how to get new contracts. I know how to do that. Absolutely, I should do that. So I set about building this business. And sure enough, in 18 months, I created over $1 million in revenue in this business. And when I should have been super happy, I was miserable. I was super miserable. Why? Because I created an entire business around what I did not want to do anymore. This is lesson number one. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to do it for the rest of your life. It was not fun. It was not enjoyable. It was not something I loved doing. And so I hit a little bit of a crisis point. I left work and I didn't want to come back. I wasn't taking phone calls. I was neglecting everything. I left my business in the hands of some, thankfully, very competent employees to run it for me. And I went about like trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I was miserable. I was telling myself that I was really good at this, but I wasn't happy doing it. So what was the story there? And I was learning about law of attraction at this point, and I thought, I wonder if I could just manifest really, really fun stuff. Like, what if it was all about the fun stuff? What if it wasn't fun? It wasn't worth doing anymore. And I'm just going to do the fun stuff. So I started focusing on that, and I only wanted to do that. So luckily, my son actually came to me and we built a business together around what he wanted to do. I was like, let's just build a business together that's fun. So we ended up creating an audiobook narration business, which was a ball of fun. It was totally awesome. And then I realized that not just that audiobooks and like narrating audiobooks was fun, but it's lonely because you're all by yourself in a closet narrating audiobooks. But what was fun is when we changed our model to start teaching that business to other people. And then we had lots more fun again. And I was like, this is what I love doing. I love teaching other people. And I thought, I'm never going to do stuff unless it's fun. And sometimes things are fun for a while and then they stop being fun, right? And then you've got to just be able to shift. Now, what's this all got to do with affirmations? Well, there are times where you're at work and you're like, all right, so I'm just going to know that this job is perfect for me. So I'm going to tell myself, this job is perfect for me. I'm in the perfect place. Everything is perfect. It's all working out for me. I'm making tons of money. I'm wealthy. I'm happy. I'm successful. All things are right for me, right? And sometimes it just doesn't work. Then you go to something else and you're like, oh, all the traffic lights are green. All the parking spaces are available. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Why is that? Why, if law of attraction works every single time, whether we believe it or whether we don't, why do affirmations sometimes work and sometimes they don't? And the reason is this, your gut. The reason is what you believe in your gut. So when you believe something is true, it is true and it will manifest. But when you say something over and over again that you do not believe is true, the universe is actually picking up on what your belief code is, what you actually are tuned into about what you believe. So if you say to yourself, I can make this, this job is wonderful and it's totally perfect for me, and I know that it's the best thing ever since sliced bread, then that manifestation might not work because you don't really believe it. Now, if you believe, you know what? A parking place is always available for me. Green lights always come my way. I always have luck and I find money on the street from time to time. If you really believe that that's true, it will happen more and more often. So the secret is really tapping into what you can really believe. But for those of you who are like, yeah, but I know that I'm not healthy. It's not easy for me to lose weight. It's not easy for me to make money. I don't have great relationships with my spouse or my family or my parents or my kids. If you really know that to be true, then how do you make those affirmations work? Well, the answer is that the problem with affirmations is that you're trying to do a 180. You're trying to be like, I know that I'm broke, so I'm going to tell myself that I'm a millionaire, right? You're trying to do a 180, and your brain is not willing to do that because you still believe in your heart of hearts that you're broke. All right, so how do we shift that narrative a little bit? So instead of trying to do a 180, that we shift it to something that is, get this, also true. You have to shift your narrative to something that is also true, but works in your favor instead of against you. So if you're sitting there and saying, I'm not a millionaire, things never work out for me, I'm super frustrated, money slips through my fingers, that will be true because you believe it, right? And so you will be reinforcing that over and over again and saying, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. And then you look at your bank account and you're like, I know I'm not a millionaire. I know that bank account balance doesn't lie. Then you're really reinforcing the not a millionaire kind of thing. So money is harder to bring about. But we're going to shift those narratives just a little bit so that we can move it towards something that is also true, but is reinforceable. And then we can bring that about. All right. So if your answer is like, I'm going from I'm broke to I'm a millionaire, we can't quite do that. But if you can go from I'm broke to, every once in a while, I find money that comes to me from an unexpected source. That is also true for many of us. If you can resonate with that, put a one in the chat. Put a one in the chat if you can resonate with that. Like every once in a while, money comes to me from an unexpected source. All right. Well, that's not I'm a millionaire, but it is better off than I'm broke. All right. You're better off shifting your narrative slightly to something that is also true. But your brain now knows that that's also true. The statement, money comes to me from sometimes money comes to me from an unexpected source, is also true. So instead of running the tape in your head of, and when you feel that, when you look at your bank account and you say, oh my gosh, I'm broke, I'm a millionaire, you know that that's not true. So shift your narrative during that moment, in that moment where you're not feeling so hot about it, shift your narrative to something that's also true. Money comes to me sometimes from unexpected sources. All right. What about the one where like my spouse is frustrating me? He's so super aggravating, or he always drives me crazy, right? To something that's like, my spouse, he remembers to take out the trash cans every Tuesday morning, and I always forget. And I love that about him, right? My spouse remembers to take the trash cans out every Tuesday morning, and I love that about him. That is also true. But it's not fighting against the thing that's there, like ringing in your ears about like he's always frustrating to me. But it's also not, we have a perfectly loving relationship and everything is fine, right? So you want to shift your narrative to something that's, now here's the trick. You want to shift it to something that serves you personally. All right. Now that shift might actually also serve the other person in the relationship, but the shift is actually serving you. Because when you can think about something positive about that person, when you show up in that relationship is going to benefit and both of you will actually thrive because of that simple twist. All right. Now, next, after you're like, you know what? He always takes the trash cans out. The thought might occur to you that, you know what? I want to send him a text saying, hey, thanks for always taking the trash cans out on Tuesday mornings. I used to forget that all the time, and I appreciate you for doing that. What kind of response is that going to have in the relationship instead of, he is so frustrating to me, right? It's a totally different response. And those things snowball on themselves. Then, when he does something really nice for you, or he responds in a positive way, and maybe he doesn't, that's totally fine. Maybe he's like, yeah, you never take the trash cans out. And I know that too. Then you could be like, all right, that was a trigger point, but that's more about him than it is about me. All right, that's a trigger point, but it's more about him than it is about me. You know that you did a little bit of a shift. And whether or not it had a reaction on him right away or not, you did the shift. And when you say money comes for me from unexpected sources, even if nothing comes in the next 2 or 3 days, try not to notice that. Try to be focused on, you know, you did a shift inside yourself. All right. So this is perfectly the aligned to be able to engage what's also true about your life. All right. I have one that spins around me from time to time. I was the second child. I have second child syndrome. For those of you first children out there, you don't know about this and you don't even believe it exists. But for those of us who are second children in the world, would you put in the chat, like, that's a thing? Put in the chat, that's a thing. If you're a second child and you know what second child syndrome is. So my ex-husband and I are both second children. And we actually bonded over this. We were like, oh, second child syndrome, that's a thing. Parents never took pictures of us. Our older siblings all had all these really thick books of all the albums of how great they were. And then by the time we came around, like, nobody was paying attention. There are like 4 pictures of me when I'm a youth, right? Like, it's just a story I've been telling myself for ages and ages and ages. Yes, that's a thing. Thank you. For you first children, you're like, that's not actually a thing. Second child syndrome, that's not a thing. First children often have a different story. First children have a story that might sound like this. I had to be responsible for my younger siblings. And so I had to grow up very quickly. And when I fought really hard for something, my siblings all got it immediately. And I was the one who had to fight for it. But even though I had to wait until I was 9 to get it, they all got it as soon as I got it, right? So that's my brother's story. He's the older sibling, so he has a story like that. My ex-husband's older brother also had a very similar story, right? Like, they had to fight for things and they had to break their parents in and they had to, like, make them convinced that it was okay for them to have a bicycle, or in some of you younger people, a cell phone or whatever it was, right? Like, you had to really fight for something. But then as soon as you got your bicycle or cell phone, your younger siblings got it, like, right away, right? How fair was that? So when we look at these things and these narratives are spinning around in our heads, I would encourage you to, yes, paving the way for the younger children. I know, like, that's a story we've got running around in our heads. Now, here's the question. Does that story serve you? Is that giving you something of benefit for your life? If it is, fantastic. If it is not, whatever story you have about being in this particular birth order, if it is not serving you, I would encourage you to take a look at it and see what might be something that you can say to yourself that serves you in a better way, but is also true. So I'm going to give you 2 shifts on the sibling order, because sometimes people will resonate with this. As the younger sibling, I could tell you I was a second child syndrome and everybody ignored me. And I had to raise my voice and call attention to myself for anybody to pay attention to me. And only 4 pictures were taken of me when I was a baby. And I could sit and stew in that. Is that serving me in the way that I want my life to unfold? Perhaps. Perhaps it's letting people feel sorry for me. Perhaps it's getting some attention. Perhaps it's justifying bad behavior. But is that really serving me in the greater good of the life that I want to live into in the future? So instead of saying that, if we shift our narrative slightly, and instead of saying all that stuff that's negative about being the second child, if we just shift that into something that's also true that serves me in a better way. For example, by the time I came around, my parents were pretty much already broken in. By the time I came around, my parents were pretty much already broken in. And I got to do a lot of things that my older sibling did not get to do right away as quickly as I did, right? And that can give me a lot more relief, a lot more positivity, and a lot more growth in my future life. If I was an older sibling, perhaps instead of saying my younger siblings got everything, I had to pave the way for them, I might say my parents gave me a lot of autonomy when I was young. So that makes me more efficient as a leader today. My parents gave me a lot of autonomy when I was young. So that makes me more efficient today. If money is your issue, you could say, instead of saying money, when it comes to me, it slips through my fingers very, very rapidly. You could say something else, which is also true. For example, sometimes I find really good deals on the internet and I find things at prices that nobody else gets. Or you might say, every once in a while, things come to me quickly and easily in terms of financial windfalls. Or you might say, you know, I really love what I do and getting paid for it is just a bonus. All of those stories are much better and serve you in a much greater way than telling yourself that money slips through your fingers like water. Another one that I hear oftentimes when I talk about where I travel full-time. For those of you who don't know, I actually travel full-time, which, by the way, scared my parents to no end. I told my father I was traveling full-time, and he flat out asked me, are you couch surfing now? Are you couch surfing? And I was like, no, Dad, tonight I am at the JW Marriott. Like, no, I don't live in an RV. I do not live in a car. I just travel full time. Well, he was really worried, and I love him for caring for me and worrying about me. But what I ended up explaining to him is and he asked me, are you homeless? And I said, no, I'm not homeless. I have 5 homes, but other people pay me to live in them. So it's a wonderful new way to look at things. Now you could say, yep, I'm homeless now. Ha ha ha. But does that serve me in a really good way? No. If you claim it in a different way, and I love the word claim that Katja put in the chat, if you claim it in a different way, it can serve you in a positive way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so if you take your narratives and you look at them and you see that they do serve you, keep those narratives. Those are wonderful affirmations to use. I'll give you one last one before we have to wrap up. The last one that I use, you guys might think this is ridiculous, but for me, it is very true. I tell myself, and it ends up being true because the more I say it, the more true it happens, is it never rains on me. It never rains on me. And it does rain, and it rains around me, and it rains on my car sometimes, and it rains on my house sometimes. But when I go out and I'm ready to go out and I grab my purse and I put my jacket on and I step out the door, the rain stops for a period of time until I get to my car. And then I get to my car and I start driving, and maybe the rain starts again. But then as I'm approaching the restaurant and about to get out, then the rain just lets up. And as I park the car and get out and I walk to the restaurant, then there's no rain. And then it starts again. So there's all kinds of ways that you can actually tell yourself that things are always working out for you. And you know what? They are. Whether you're bringing bad things into your life or good things into your life, life is always working out for you. No matter what you're telling yourself, life is always working out for you. It's one of those beautiful things about words of affirmation and affirmations that you have, and working the law of attraction, that it's always working, whether you believe in it or not. You just might shift your narrative so it starts working in your favor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kimberly Crowe. If you're having fun today, please put fun in the chat box. If you love affirmations and you love shifting your narrative and you love what you heard today, please throw some love in the chat, because I'm so delighted that you guys hung out with me today. It's been a fabulous day so far, and we've got more coming. In fact, we have so much more coming. We have surprises for you. We have opportunities for you, and we have benefits for you that you don't even know about yet. And we're delighted to be able to bring those to you as the day unfolds. So stick with us. We've got a lot more coming right up. We have our next speaker up. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's Carrie Wallace. Carrie's going to be talking to us about the 3 secrets of profitable marketing, profitable and inspired marketing for coaches and healers and entrepreneurs. And we have 15 other amazing speakers that are also coming up. I hope you all are having a wonderful time. I know I'm having a wonderful time with you. We'll see you all back at the top of the hour, bottom of the hour. I'm Kimberly Crowe. Cheers.
Wow, that was another amazing session. We hope you enjoyed it as well. If you haven't already upgraded to VIP, now is the time. Grab all the recordings of all of the talks and VIP gifts worth thousands of dollars. For any questions or concerns, please email our support line at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. We will be back in a few moments with our next amazing speaker.